It's the two-point conversion with Bryce and Daniels, brought to you by Footbology.com, the study of all things football.
And we're live.
We're live.
Oh, yeah. Episode 7, two-point conversion podcast, Bryce and Daniels. And it's hosted, as always, by Footbology.com. It's the study, Bryce, of all things football.
We're absolutely studying things.
Definitely go check those guys out. Find us on Facebook. Of course, we got the Facebook page up for the show, two-point conversion, and iTunes and Google Play. Tell them about that as well.
Yeah, we really need you guys. If you're listening on a Android device, go find the show on the Google Play Store, rate it, like it, and if you're listening on a Apple device, go find it on the iTunes Store. Again, rate it, like it. That really, really helps out the show, helps it grow and spread, and as it grows and spreads, we'll be able to add more elements and have more cool things. So it helps out everybody.
Speaking of adding more elements and having more cool things, we have a new member of the show.
We do. Yeah. We have a social media sorceress. That's what we decided she's going to be.
I love the title.
Yeah. This is Kendra. Kendra Watts. Can say hi.
Hi. How's it going?
And we'll be asking her questions throughout the show from you guys on Twitter, on Facebook, so definitely feel free, and we encourage all the questions and, of course, comments as well, but definitely all the questions that you have. Usually they're fantasy-related.
Usually.
Looking for advice.
But they don't have to
be. They don't have to be. Absolutely not.
They don't have to be.
Absolutely not. And, so we are going into Week 5 in the NFL. There's quite an assortment of games on tap, couple of storylines, of course. The main one, I would imagine, has to be Tom Brady is back.
That's one of the biggest ones, yeah. I think there's quite a few. I don't know if you can really pick out a main one, but, yeah, Brady being back's big.
Well, tell me what you've seen. What are you looking at for Week 5?
As far as storylines?
Like
Dak and the Cowboys getting their first big test?
It is a test, too. And I said that Dallas was going to be a favorite. I was slightly correct and slightly incorrect because they opened up as a one-point favorite.
But it's moved to a one-point favorite for Cincinnati now.
Yeah.
And then the Texans, they have a really good challenge against Minnesota. They have that.
What a game that's going to be. 3-1 Houston Texans going into Minnesota. They're a six-point underdog in that
game. Yeah, I don't see any way Houston wins that game, personally.
I don't either.
But that's a big test, and then, you know, if they prove us wrong, then all of a sudden they're, you know, a major player. And then you have Carson Wentz and the Eagles
coming back off their bye.
Can they keep that up and continue the no-interception streak that Carson Wentz is on and all
What's interesting in this one to me is that Philadelphia is only a three-point favorite coming into this game against almost a hapless Detroit team. They looked real bad against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Back on the Carson Wentz thing.
Carson Wentz thing, yeah.
Any bets on when he's going to throw the first interception?
I will raise that you there. Any bets on when? I think it happens this weekend, actually.
You think Carson Wentz throws his first interception this weekend?
Not for Carson Wentz. Not Carson Wentz's first interception. I kind of flipped that around and went
going with Dak?
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, no, I can absolutely see his first interception being this weekend. I think Carson will probably keep it going for a week or two.
Yeah, I do too.
He's got a little magic to him a little bit, so I think he'll keep it going just a little bit longer.
Now, I don't think Detroit's going to be the first one to be able to pick him off. He's too good. He's too accurate, and he's too just on point. I think the Philadelphia keeps it going.
I think we get a little more tape on this guy, and people know kind of what his strengths and weaknesses are, and he'll come back down to earth, just like I expect Dak Prescott to do the same.
Do you expect it to happen this week, or does Dallas find a way to win this game?
I could definitely see Dallas winning it or losing it. This is a game that I'm like,
it's a coin flip.
It could happen either way. I don't think Dak's going to come down to earth in terms of, like, just be horrible, but you might see him really struggling to find open receivers and perform well with that type of defense. It's the first real defense he's faced.
Well, speaking of open receivers, what's the latest on Dez? Because if Dez doesn't play, that's going to be another really, really difficult test.
Dez did not practice yesterday or today.
That's what I saw too.
So I'm going to say he's probably not going to play. They're getting Tyron Smith back,
mm-hmm.
which is very important, but Dez is not going to play, most likely, and it's looking like Dan Bailey might not play or might be very limited in what they allow him to do, only short field goals or whatever. He's got a back problem.
Mm-hmm.
So Dallas has some problems there. They're missing some key players still.
It's good. It's kind of interesting that you bring that up because I'm not saying it is the reason for the line movement, but you see Dallas opening up as a one-point favorite at home and then it switched back to shifts back to Cincinnati. There's got to be a reason for that. Is this a game where Ezekiel Elliott is going to be another focal point of the Dallas attack?
Yeah. There's not going to be a game this season where Ezekiel Elliott's not the focal point.
Well, Cincinnati, the reason I'm asking this is because Cincinnati completely shut Antonio Brown and the Pittsburgh Steelers down through the air a couple of weeks ago. And obviously, Le'Veon Bell wasn't there. I think D'Angelo Williams, he did all right. But Cincinnati's defense is definitely not to
That defensive line is incredible. They have a really good defensive line, but they're going up against the Dallas offensive line, which is you know, equally as good. So that's a matchup. That's
probably game of the week.
Right, what I was about to say. Like, usually, you know, as a Cowboy fan, you're going to be like, well, you always think they're the game of the week. No, there are sometimes when I'm like, this is going to be boring. But no, Dallas and Tampa, and especially watching those two lines go at it for all day on Sunday, is going to be really good.
Just taking a look at the rest of these games here, there's quite a few mismatches.
I was noticing that it's going to be kind of one of those days where we're going to get some upsets.
Yeah, we are going to get some upsets. There's going to be a couple of really dull games from the looks of it for me as well. I don't like this Tennessee-Miami game. I think Pittsburgh probably rolls over the Jets. Maybe Fitzpatrick can
my boy Ryan Fitzpatrick with his 9 interceptions in the last 2 games.
Hey, he can throw as many as he wants, as long as he keeps a beard. That's all I'm
saying. Oh, she's one of the beard girls. Okay, I see.
I see.
Good
beard. It's nice.
I'm not saying, you know, there's nothing to get. I don't have anything against a beard. I don't have one. I've got a little bit of facial hair, but a beard like that, that looks like he's coming in off of, like, a bus terminal from, like, a solid, like, 2.5-3 week bender of just sleeping on the bench.
Next
wow.
month is No Shave November.
He's just prepping.
He's prepping.
Exactly.
He's prepping.
For the
Everybody's
last
prepping right now.
2.5
you know,
years.
You know how quarterbacks are. They're prepared ahead of time. So Fitzpatrick's just getting ready, and the ladies like it. So
Fitzy's taking it to another level where he almost doesn't look like a human being anymore. And now the hair, too? I don't know. I think something's got to change in New York. Well, let's start off with the first game on tap, and it's the top storyline as far as I'm concerned. Le'Veon Bell as well, didn't talk about that. We will hear in just a bit. But the top storyline as far as I'm concerned, Pats fans, a lot of female Pats fans as well. Brady is back. I'm sure you're very excited. Yes, I know you are.
You're just going to watch a little Brady the Gronk
watch.
Action?
Yeah. I love Gronk, too.
Well,
yeah,
of course you do.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. Is he going to play?
Gronk?
Yeah.
I think he plays.
Do you think he's
I think he'll catch a touchdown.
You think he'll catch a touchdown?
I think he'll catch a touchdown.
So you don't think he's going to be a decoy then? You think he's going to be actually in play this week?
Maybe I'm just hoping he catches a touchdown, but I think he catches a touchdown.
I think it's Bennett. I still think it's Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, and I saw a pretty credible person that knows what they're talking about in the NFL making the case that Bennett is just going to supplant Gronk. Just as a
overall,
yes. Based almost purely on age, and they say that Gronk has what they're calling old man body. Like, he just can't stay healthy. He's just not really not old man as in he don't.
Oh,
mess
I
up.
Was like,
no,
me.
Like
Kendra is losing her mind over here.
Okay,
I thought she was gonna attack me or something.
Will be married one day.
Oh,
so don't talk.
One day,
like
Kendra Watts, Kendra Gronkowski.
Hey, it sounds good.
Kendra Gronkowski.
I'm sure you've written that in more than a couple of notebooks.
Yeah,
a
probably
hearts.
Has. Yeah, some hearts. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Pats are a 10.5 favorite against your Browns, man. They get your Browns.
I love my Brownies, man.
Oh, my God. This is one of my plays of the week. I don't see any way that New England doesn't just absolutely roll here, and we're talking by probably like
will,
20 or 20.
I will eat these shorts live on air next week if Cleveland beats New England.
Well, they're not going to win. They might cover. But Cleveland's not
probably not. But yeah, if Cleveland wins that game, I'll just sit here with a knife and a fork and just eat my shorts.
I'm gonna be rooting for some Terrell Pryor Sr.
Yeah, rooting hard, right?
It's got a 46.5 over under on it. Do you see anything from Cleveland that you like? Can we roster Terrell Pryor this week?
Yeah, I mean, you could play Terrell. He's proved it. And as much as New England has shut down people over the years, a lot of the fantasy players over the years. This year, people are scoring fantasy points against them. I'd play them if you got them on your roster.
Okay. How about the New England side? Because I've got one that with a star, asterisk, circled, highlighted, whatever you want to call it, whatever your method is, and I'm old school, I'll write things down. Julian Edelman.
Yeah? Is he back now?
Julian Edelman. Well, he's been back.
He's not back. It's Brady's back.
Brady's back, so Julian Edelman automatically
goes right up. Yeah, no doubt. For me, it would be Brady. I think that Brady's going to come back and just be pissed off like he was 08 or whenever it was when they went 16-0 and just set the league on fire.
Yeah.
So.
And we made a mention about this on the Monday show as well. There's one thing as a sports bettor that you do not do. Now, this is not a Monday night game. However, it kind of plays like one with Brady coming back. You don't bet against Tom Brady on Monday night.
Right.
You do not do it.
Yep.
This might as well be the...
It's pretty much the same thing. Yeah.
It's basically exactly
You just don't bet thing. Against pissed off Brady.
No, oh that, my God. So who does he go to? That's my question. Because I do not see this game being a LeGarrette Blount game. I think it's Brady.
Edelman, Gronk, Bennett. We've already said the names.
Edelman, Bennett. I can't pay for Gronk. As far as daily.
If you're daily, I wouldn't start him or pay for him at all. But Edelman, I would go Edelman in daily.
Yeah, yeah. I love Edelman. I think he probably... I mean, this might be... this might be bias a little bit and kind of wishful thinking, but I think Edelman might go for 102 touchdowns. That's
okay.
That's just kind of the insight that I have. But New England rolls in that. Moving on to a game that I'm looking forward to just because I love watching this guy. Carson Wentz is a beast, man. He's a monster, and he just keeps getting better along with Dak. I don't know it's way too early to be talking rookie of the year. But the top three in my mind have to be Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, and Ezekiel Elliott in no particular order.
Yeah. I missed on Carson Wentz bad on my evaluation of him. And part of that is because it's difficult to even find film of him playing.
It is tough finding film.
He went to, you know, Podunk State or wherever it was.
North Dakota.
Mary's School for the Blind and Deaf or something. I don't know. But so there's no video out there, or very little.
That would explain no video.
Yeah. I missed on my evaluation on him really bad, but when I watch what I see of him doing in the NFL, you can see why he's having success. So yeah.
So they have they go to Detroit to take on. I mean, they look like I said the Lions looked pretty rough against Chicago. Philadelphia is a 3-point favorite. That seems like a trap.
Over who?
The Lions.
Just three?
Exactly. Things that make you go.
Detroit's played close games.
They have been close in every game. They have played close games.
So, okay, sure, whatever. I think Philly wins it.
Yeah, I think they do too, and that's another one of my plays of the week. Or might be. Yeah, it is. Total on that is 46. We talked about it a little earlier. Do you think this is the week? You don't think Detroit can pick one off?
Yeah, they can. Absolutely. The first real test for Philly was supposed to be Pittsburgh. Not only because Pittsburgh has the defense, but because Pittsburgh has the explosive offense to put the pressure on Carson Wentz to be behind and have to make accurate throws. Like, we saw that from Dak Prescott last week when they were down 14-0 in the first quarter. And so you had to see him play from behind. We haven't seen that from Carson Wentz yet. Now, Detroit, they do have an explosive offense. They can score from anywhere with Ameer Abdullah and Marvin Jones and Ebron and everything they got going on. So if they jump out to a little bit of an early lead and we have to watch Carson Wentz play from behind, that changes things a little bit. We might see him come down to earth and maybe Philly doesn't play quite as well.
Abdullah's on the IR. I know that.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, you know that.
Theo Riddick.
You know. Theo Riddick. Well, Riddick. That's...
I forgot that Abdullah's on the IR.
That's a serious bump down for me from Abdullah to Riddick, even though Abdullah hasn't really been
I think that Riddick's a better player right now.
Really?
Yeah. What's Abdullah done?
Well, he hasn't done anything, but he's built like a running back.
He is, but what's he done? Matt Asiata's built like a running back, too. What's he done?
He scored a touchdown the other day.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Marvin Jones Jr. is banged up as well.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
So I kind of see this Detroit offense struggling a little bit.
Okay.
Even though they're at home, I wouldn't target Matt Stafford. I could see the reasons for doing so, but I think Philadelphia, I think they roll in this. Maybe not roll, but they definitely cover that 3 points.
Yeah, I would see that. Only way I could see it changing is, like I said, if Detroit jumps out early.
Zach Ertz coming back this weekend as well. Is he? You expect some not big things, but you think he's going to be involved in the offense?
He's a really good tight end, but we haven't seen what Carson Wentz does with tight ends yet. So we're going to have to see a little bit before we know anything on Ertz.
Yeah, I think so. Now this is I mentioned a couple of games that are going to be really dull this weekend. I think this is one of them. 1-3 Chicago taking on the 1-3 Colts. It's in Indianapolis.
Jordan Howard's going to be good.
I think so, too.
Okay, done. We're done with that game.
Oh, we can't be done with that game.
Let's go to her for a question or something, because...
Well, we got three or four like it. Absolutely. So it's question time?
I don't even want to talk about that game.
I've got two more I don't want to talk about. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I've got a middle school
well,
team.
Every time you see one of those ones that you don't want to talk about, just throw it to her for a question. Because we don't want to talk about that crap. That's boring.
Social media sorceress. Of course, we introduced her earlier on the program. Kendra Watts.
That's me.
You got some questions from the Twitterverse?
Yeah. We got Dave from Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah. He says, I'm in an auction league. I spent most of my money on Gronk and Doug Baldwin. Obviously, the season's not going well. Any advice on how to get out of this 0-4 hole?
The 0-4 hole. The dreaded 0-4 hole.
Yikes.
Yep. Hadn't won a game. That's rough.
That's not good.
So
you're the Browns.
Spent up for Gronk.
Of your fantasy.
Then Gronk got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he hasn't been able to help at all early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were counting on Tom Brady coming back. But you're thinking you're going to get something from him before that, and then you get nothing because he's hurt. Doug Baldwin, you know, he was one of the biggest fantasy receivers last year. Scored really
kind,
high.
Kind of hit or miss. His stats don't show it. He should be hit or miss, but somehow
He's consistent every week with Baldwin, but he's already missed a game. Then he had a concussion early. He looked like he was starting to have a good game Sunday, had the concussion early. What could you say to somebody to pick up? Well, who should you target to trade? What do you think?
Oh, man, I mean, where do you even start? What do you think about Gronk there? Do you want to stay with the ship?
I mean,
or do you
if you spent all your points on him, do you ride it out?
Ride it out to an 0-6 hole.
I mean,
then the season's over.
Yeah, you could. That's true. Do you try to flip Gronk to somebody that's not very smart? Now that he's healthy,
you think anybody's buying?
We've talked about the weekly fantasy leagues don't have the smartest and best fantasy players.
You could try sending a couple of.
So that's what you would do. You would try to flip Gronk for something.
I'm a free agent guy. I'm always digging through the free agent list. Now there's not much there right now.
Right. My leagues, I was looking, and there's just bare bones,
bottom of the
man.
Barrel. Yeah.
So we don't really have a whole lot of advice for that guy. Try to flip Gronk for something and see if you can get lucky.
Maybe a package, put together a pretty decent package or try to with somebody else that you have. I don't know a whole lot about your team, but.
You're right.
Do you get rid of Baldwin? Are you probably. That's.
I mean, he. If
that's a rough spot.
Yeah.
That's a losing season. I'll tell you what you do. You close up shop.
You close up shop. Close the account.
Change the password. Just, you know, go into hibernation and hiding.
Yeah, until next season.
Pick up Daily Fantasy where DraftKings.com can win you $1 million, the millionaire maker this week. No, you're in a really bad spot.
You turn it into a sales pitch.
Absolutely.
That's what you do.
I do.
All right, let's give you the next game.
You're in a really bad spot. Chicago and Indianapolis. I think Vegas kind of sees the Colts rolling here. It's a 47.5 total. You see anywhere close to those points coming out of this game?
God, I mean, Chicago's offense didn't look bad last week, man.
And it looks Hoyer can throw the ball.
He can.
Sort of.
And then Indy can bust off and score a bunch of points at any time. You just never know if the JV players that Andrew Luck has to play with are ever going to.
And speaking of that, you have to think that the passing game is where these points are going to come from.
Wait, hold on. You know Andrew Luck? The beard? Andrew Luck? Got a little thing for Andrew Luck, too? Okay. Next game. Just wondering.
That was random. I like beards. Get off me.
I was going to pull up a picture for her. So if we're talking daily, though, I would say think about Hoyer. I kind of cringe when I say that. Jordan Howard
yes,
and Frank
yes.
Gore. Frank Gore has been
surprisingly consistent this year.
I'm probably going to stay away from T.Y. Hilton. If you want to go contrarian, Andrew Luck, there could be some points in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Another battle of 1-3s, and I think this one's going to be dull as well. The Titans and the Dolphins, Tennessee at Miami. Miami's a 3.5 favorite, and 43.5 total on that game.
The look she just gave me when she pulled up the picture of Andrew Luck.
Sorry.
No.
Not
no. The answer is no.
Oh, there's a beard picture.
So, okay, yeah, he doesn't. He's not rocking the
no.
same. No.
Oh.
No.
No.
That's unacceptable.
He looks
okay.
like... Never mind.
No, continue.
Ventriloquist doll. You see it? Do you see it in the picture? You see it?
Oh yeah. In that picture, he does
That's
look
creepy.
Like a ventriloquist
doll. I'm not into that.
That's not cool. That's not cool.
Not a cool beard.
No.
All right.
So with the 1-3s,
yeah.
Kind of like that guy, kind of like Dave's 0-14. You're in a real spot if you lose at 1-3.
Yeah, absolutely.
You lose at 1-3, your season... It's... the turning point of your year. You can either improve to 2-3, get back in the somewhat back in the hunt, take the first steps on getting back in the hunt, or you can fall off the cliff and go 1-4. There's no recovery.
Tennessee and Miami, you said?
Yeah, Tennessee at Miami.
Who do you got in that game?
Flip a coin. I want to say Miami. I want to like Miami.
I've wanted to like Miami for a long time. I've wanted to like Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. I really think he's a good quarterback, but they just haven't put pieces around him to really be effective. I would say Tennessee in that game because Miami's not playing well right now.
Miami's not playing well. They can't put it together.
I would go with Tennessee, but I mean like you said, flip a coin.
Second most expensive running back as far as over on DraftKings, DeMarco Murray. People are taking notice.
Yeah.
I think he probably might. Not a big game. Again, you're looking at a relatively low total at 43.5. But I could definitely see
15,
at least
20
one
points.
Touchdown. Yeah. I think so, too. And he's going to see some work out of the air as well. Now, this one's going to be important for you because if Washington beats Baltimore, we have a division fight. 2-2 Redskins taking on the 3-1 Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore -4. Coming into that game as a favorite, 45.5 as the total. Like I said, it's an important game for Dallas. It's an important game for Washington. It's more of an important game for Washington than it is Dallas. Washington, of course, they started out 0-2, correct? Mm-hmm. Won their last two. Not in convincing fashion last week, or the week before, if I remember correctly.
Mm-mm.
Cousins doesn't look good.
Nope.
When I entered the studio, I said that I might be about to do something crazy. And you said you weren't surprised.
No, because you're kind of crazy.
A little bit. I have my moments. Why do I like Joe Flacco as much as I do this week?
Because Washington's defense is awful?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Because I really like Joe Flacco in this game.
Like, all you have to do is either move your best receiver into the slot, because Josh Norman doesn't cover the slot, and then throw it to your best receiver. Or throw it to your second-best receiver who's being covered by Breshad Breeland, who is not a good cornerback, and none of their other cornerbacks are any good. And to make things even worse, or better for you, I guess I should say, is Washington's offense isn't playing bad, so they're going to score, so it's going to force Baltimore to push the ball a little bit, so Flacco could have a big game. Plus, Steve Smith's playing
Steve
out of his
Smith.
Mind right now.
That's why I like Flacco so much, because I'm going to pair him with Steve Smith. He's, I believe, let's see, how much is Steve Smith? He's adequately priced. I know that. Well, I lost my... Oh, here we go.
Wow.
$5,300. I've got papers everywhere. $5,300.
So, his price is the same as his age. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's good. That's good.
Mike Wallace a thing? Is that train kind of over? Is
I don't
it derailed?
Know if it's, I don't know if it's over, but teams are definitely going, okay, he can still get on top of the defense. So, they're giving him a little bit more respect than they were before. But, of course, as they do that, Steve Smith rises. So, because you can't give them both respect at the same time and still, you know, defend the run. So
who's the number one guy there? Before we talk about the run, because that changed drastically last week. And
Breshad Perriman.
Even more drastically. What's
I'm
that?
Just kidding. It's Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Steve
Breshad
Smith.
Perriman. Kymar Aiken, no.
Yeah.
So Smith is the number one.
I would say so, yeah.
So you think that the Norman coverage is probably going to be majority on...
Yes,
on
but Steve Smith is unreal out of the slot. And all you got to do is put him in the slot and Norman doesn't go down there. So you avoid him that way.
That's true. Now, speaking of the running game, of course, Terrence West filled in last week.
Mm-hmm.
Filled in very nicely. And Justin Forsett's...
I don't know about filled in. I think he got promoted to starter.
Yeah, well, he filled in. And then Justin Forsett received his walking papers earlier this week. He's been
I think that was decided sometime Saturday afternoon or maybe even Friday afternoon that that's what was going to go on,
mm-hmm.
Because they were reporting Saturday that he was going to be inactive.
Yeah.
On Sunday, so something happened in there. I don't know what it was, and they decided to move on and part ways. And so.
So do you like Terrence West moving forward if you're Baltimore?
Sure.
I mean, 114, I believe,
Terrence,
last week.
Not Terrence West. Baltimore always finds a way to run the ball well. So whoever their lead dog is always a good fantasy option. What do you have, like 140 yards last week?
I think 114.
140, yeah.
I don't think he got into the end zone. He's not really a pass catcher out of the backfield. So
no.
Kind of, I've got an X in that category for him. But I think he probably sees a pretty decent workload against Washington. Is Matt Jones for real?
I've never been that impressed with Matt Jones. I like the other kid better, Thompson.
Yeah, Chris Thompson.
I like Chris Thompson better. That's just, he's got more burst. He's got more patience. Matt Jones is bigger. He has a little more power. But I'm not a big fan of Matt Jones, personally.
He is very cheap this week as far as a daily option goes.
That's because he's playing Baltimore's defense.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, everybody's cheap when you're playing Baltimore's defense.
Who do you like this game?
Baltimore.
Baltimore?
Yeah. Yeah. With Cousins, you don't know what you're going to get.
No, you don't.
Like, if you got good Cousins, even 75 or 80% of the game, you'd be fine. But it's 50-50. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
All right, moving on to the next one.
I just want to point out that as we're bringing up these names, she's just looking them up and judging these guys.
Yeah, I know.
Beard.
I was wondering what that look was, and yeah, I figured it out. Yeah. About she. There was a scowl. There was a serious scowl. What was that scowl about, Kendra? Who?
He's got a beard, but it's not like big enough.
Who?
It's not full enough. This Matt Jones character.
Oh.
Redskins?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. She's looking up the beard.
Checking the beard status, okay? Because I'm going to, like, rate him in November, right? Best beard?
Oh, okay.
Deal?
Okay,
yeah.
That's a segment coming in November. Best beard.
3-1 Houston. The Texans travel to Minnesota to take on the 4-0 Vikings. Vikings look good.
They look so good.
God, they look good.
I'm ready for them to play like a really good offense so we can start to judge what that defense can do. But
yeah, that's not going to happen this week.
What?
Good.
Oh, sorry. It's like Shrek style. That's awesome.
Shrek style.
Shrek style. That's
go for it.
We don't want to think about that. Move on.
Vikings look good. As a conglomerate in studio today, in the last hour, have had more offense than the Giants did on Monday night against that defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. You want to talk about somebody getting shut down.
Yeah, they completely shut down New York. They've shut down every offense they played.
Yeah.
They shut down Cam Newton and the Panthers, and... What was that?
Cam Newton.
You know, not a fan of Cam Newton?
I'm not a fan. He's a freaking baby. A crybaby.
A crybaby.
What's wrong with him now? Is there something wrong with him now? Let's go ahead.
Well, he had a concussion.
I mean, he was playing last week, and then he had to go in the locker room and change his tampon and stuff.
Tampon?
And it got stuck. Yeah. It got lodged, and he had to go to the ER. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Okay, so she's not a fan of the players that don't tough it
baby.
Out.
He's
don't
a baby.
It. Okay.
And no beard.
Oh, and no beard.
Baby
the baby
face.
And no beard, and
baby
then you're
face.
Out. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
That was a concussion, right?
Something.
He wasn't playing well.
Yes, he's not. He hadn't been playing well. He probably did get a concussion, but I really do. I think that his psyche is hurt.
Yeah, we'll
and has been
that.
since the Super Bowl at the end of the year last year. So. But yeah,
how did he get the concussion? Is there like specifics? Was it a certain play, or was it when he was banging his head on the ground?
Well,
a tantrum, or when was that?
Just throwing a temper tantrum on the ground.
Who was
he? Did it after the Super Bowl?
The coach had to bring out there and bring him this rattle and pacifier.
Gus Frerotte.
Oh, the Gus Frerotte play. I remember that. Good point. Yeah, but he actually got hit in the head several times in the first week of the season, and I think it's still. They keep having him out there playing, and I think it's just gotten worse and worse. And to top it off of how much I think he was affected by the Super Bowl loss and how poorly
right.
he played and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I hope he turns it around, but I see a lot of times when that happens to a player, it takes a significant period of time for them to get their confidence back and get going again.
Back to Minnesota with the Houston, the Texans, Vikings, Vegas giving very little respect to Houston this game. 6.5. Is the spread in favor of the Vikings, and Houston is 3-1. They haven't been an impressive 3-1, so to speak.
No,
but they're 3-1.
Right, they're kind of like Dallas is 3-1. That it's like, who have you beat?
That's true.
And who'd you lose to? Like, that's kind of what they're looking right now. It'll be very interesting to see if Will Fuller can have success against those corners like Odell Beckham could not.
And speaking of Will Fuller, I believe Kendra has a question as well. Who's it from?
We got a lot on Facebook. Let's go. Okay, I'm going with Quentin just because he said he's from Oaktown. Oakland. Oaktown.
Oaktown.
Oaktown. He said, I have Crabtree and Cooper. Any advice on which one I should start?
So, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree for the Raiders. He got them both. So, big Raider fan. He just picked both his receivers.
That happens, actually. It happens a lot
I know,
in Texas.
I know. Oh man, as a Cowboy fan and being local here, anytime I play fantasy football with people from around the area, I just love.
It's hilarious.
I just don't pick the Cowboys players. Don't even look at them because you know they're going to go way too high, and you just let them get all and let them push the better players down to you. So what'd you say his name was? Quentin. Quentin. All right.
Quentin from Old Town.
Yeah, Quentin. I would start Crabtree.
I would,
personally,
too.
Because right now he's catching a lot of touchdowns.
He's hot. He's hot right now.
He's hot
three
right
touchdowns.
Now. Yeah.
Is it chasing points?
I'll
tell you this. I'm thinking about starting him in daily.
In daily, yeah. Are you?
Three touchdowns.
He's catching touchdowns.
Got 11 targets.
And Carr and him kind of got a little thing going on right now, and Cooper's getting all the coverage because he is a monster receiver when he's not, you know, covered up like that. So I would start... I would start Crabtree in that situation, and I would also just encourage you to not be so Homer-like when you're drafting your teams or picking your fantasy teams.
Is that a Simpsons reference?
No, a Homer, like
yeah,
home team.
Well, yeah.
No, that was awful.
Yeah. No, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
But yeah, just don't do that quite as much. And also, it's a bad idea just in general. Like. One of the things we might tell you is they both might have a good game.
And that's what
both.
Yeah.
But when you do that in daily, you're gambling that it's going to be a huge game and it's going to work. But on a week-to-week basis, when you're playing weekly fantasy like that, you don't want...
Most of your time,
team becomes very inconsistent if you start multiple players from the same offense. So unless it's a quarterback-receiver combination, which usually that can work, but even then, if the quarterback has a bad day, then the receiver's going to have a bad day, and you have a lower total. So
I will say this, though, as far as the total goes, that's the highest on the board. San Diego at Oakland, 50.5. I could see a reason. I don't like starting both, but I could see a reason to play both this weekend.
I wouldn't. Just a little...
Yeah. A little sidebar.
Yeah.
I think Minnesota wins that game.
Yes.
Back to that.
Yes.
-6.5. I don't know if they cover, though. I'm looking forward to that game, actually. I'm looking forward to seeing what Houston's defense can do without J.J. Watt. That's a big loss. It's a big, big loss for Houston.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. To look at, too. Yep.
To look at. So it's an appearance loss. The team doesn't look as good.
It's a loss for the ladies.
Exactly.
And it's a loss for the Texans.
Yeah.
And he loves America. I'm just saying.
So... There you go.
It's a loss for America.
It's a loss for America.
You're correct.
According to Kendra Watts, J.J. Watt being out is a loss for America. I like it.
But will he be standing on the sidelines?
Yeah, he'll be there.
They'll
cut to him on the sideline numerous times.
I know, the backside of him, which might be the best side. I'm just saying. His face is good, but never mind.
Okay.
We'll drop it. I know y'all don't want to hear.
The attention like that Kendra is going to get.
Yeah.
Jets at the Steelers. Steelers at home. They're a 7.5 favorite. Might be the most lopsided game of the, New England. 48.5 total. Le'Veon Bell. All the Le'Veon Bell in this one.
Against the Jets?
Yeah. Against the Jets.
They've been pretty stout against the run, haven't they, with Muhammad Wilkerson and Leonard Williams?
Le'Veon Bell
David Harris.
Is one of those guys who transcends the game, and
all right.
I think is matchup proof. They're going to find him the ball. They're going to get him the ball.
He's incredible. There's no question. I'd be a little bit concerned because that, as bad as the offense is and as inconsistent as the team, the Jets themselves have been, that front seven's pretty good. They're pretty good.
It's not a bad front seven.
Yeah, that's true. I know it wasn't Le'Veon Bell, but Pittsburgh's offense got really shut down by the last good front seven they played against. I'd be a little concerned on Le'Veon Bell, but obviously if you have him in your weekly fantasy, you're starting him.
Actually, to be 100% honest, the way I see this thing playing out is I think Roethlisberger probably has a big game, and I think Le'Veon Bell is going
to
be
involved in the receiving game.
As opposed to out of the backfield as far as making those runs up the middle.
So if you're not in a PPR league, you might... Maybe I don't know. If you have Le'Veon Bell in a weekly league, you're gonna start him. Yeah.
So what is the Jets' offense gonna look like without Eric Decker? Because it looks like he's gonna miss this one.
Ryan Fitzpatrick will throw 5 interceptions instead of 3.
Is that the number?
I don't know.
5.
I don't know. That offense is not playing well right now. Like, they started off okay, and you're thinking, okay, the Jets got a little something going on here, and then that 6 interception game.
What happened to Matt Forte is what I want to know.
Dude, you were all over Matt Forte after he had that big game, and all I was doing was thinking back to Chicago where he'd have a monster game somewhere in the middle of the season, and it'd just be a bunch of kind of mediocre to kind of good games, sometimes worse than that, the rest of the season. So he's kind of up and down for me.
Four
what?
4 picks.
Oh, you're calling 4 picks.
4 interceptions.
Okay.
From Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know what? Goose egg.
Goose egg.
Goose egg. He's not
throwing
any
mind.
You just said five.
I was being
just,
sarcastical.
Yeah. Sarcastical. Not a word.
Yeah, we're not slaves to English. I just made it up. Okay.
Still a lot of words.
Goose egg.
None.
It's one of those things. You know that they say the more you've been losing, the closer you are to winning.
Never heard that.
Okay,
well, it's just statistically.
If you're losing, you're a loser, and you're losing. It doesn't like mystically happen overnight that you start winning. That doesn't happen.
Well, I know you're right. I'm not saying that you start winning, but the longer you've been losing, the closer you are to a win. From a statistical standpoint, you will regress to the mean.
I get that.
So the more you've been throwing a lot of interceptions, you're going to have one of those games where you don't throw any. I'm just predicting zero.
I think you just
mathematical wizardry over here.
I don't think it's wizardry. I think it's bullshit. If, I have to be 100% honest. I think you're just pulling stuff out of the air or somewhere else.
So the loser does what? We have to have a bet.
Oh, we have to have a bet.
We have to.
Oh, we have to.
We have to.
The sorceress says so. She's commanding us.
Zero picks to four picks.
Eating shorts.
No, that's what it was last time. Okay, that's for something that I know is not going
to
happen.
I got it. Someone has to drink out of the old mug. That's here in the studio, please. There's bad things in the bottom of that mug.
Not happening.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. We'll work on something for that.
Y'all aren't fun.
No, we'll work on something that's an actual fun bet, and we'll come up with it for next week, and then we'll have a rule where, like, one time throughout the show, if he and I are disagreeing, you can be like, bet! And then that's automatically a bet that
okay,
we're
okay, just one time. Just yeah, one you'll time have to restrict me to one.
Yeah, because you'll throw them out.
Going.
Yeah, I'm
sure. I think I already have two so far.
Yeah. Probably.
I think I'm on a two. Yeah, this is the second one because earlier is the shorts.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a bet. He just.
That's just me.
He just came
short.
Out and said.
But yeah, we'll work that out for
so
next
bad.
Week.
All
right.
We'll work that out for next week.
So, yeah, we already went through how does Pittsburgh attack. I think it's probably through the air. I see bad things for this Jets offense, and I don't see any way that Fitzpatrick can get out of here without throwing at least two interceptions. Pittsburgh rolls 7.5. You might want to hold off on that. The total seems really high. 48.5. Is Pittsburgh going to score all 48?
No, but I could see this being a 30-21 game or something like that. Yeah, okay. I could see a cover on that. I'm not saying that it's going to happen,
right.
But I could see it.
Okay. If we're looking at daily, I like a Pittsburgh stack in this. Roethlisberger, he's somewhat affordable, I believe, $7,200. Le'Veon Bell as well. He's the most expensive running back, but there's a reason for that. Antonio Brown, are you paying up this week for AB?
Sure.
He looked like he was a monster.
Yeah.
And
the Jets haven't been anything special against pass.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you could afford him.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to pay down other places.
You interested in Brandon Marshall at all?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of am as well. If you can fit that in, and again, Vegas sees some points coming out of that. So, you know.
Yeah. No. Pittsburgh hasn't been, like, world beaters against the pass either. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't mind a game stack there.
Fitzpatrick throws no picks and Marshall catches a couple touchdowns.
Yeah,
and,
why not?
And then they get the over. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Cleveland beats New England.
No.
The Rams improved to 4-1 and just,
whoa.
Yeah.
God.
Why not?
Nonsense.
This one's another candidate for game of the week. 3-1 Falcons going to Denver to take on the 4-0 Broncos. Questions with Trevor Siemian. We don't know if he's ready. He's saying that he's ready.
It's looking very likely that Trevor Siemian's going to play.
I think he's going to play. I don't know if he's ready or not.
Right.
Might open up a few more carries for CJ Anderson. Again, Atlanta not that great against the run.
Mm-hmm.
Not that great against the pass either, really. 47 is the total on this game. Again, that's
a little high for me on that one, I think.
A little bit. I would say obviously the storyline to look out for, are we going from 500 to 300 or 200 or from 200 to 50? 300 to 50.
Okay,
sorry.
So
no, from 500 and 300 to 250.
Right. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Aqib Talib on Julio Jones is going to be the other matchup of the weekend besides the Dallas offensive line versus Cincinnati's defensive line that's going to be so much fun to watch. These are two guys who are playing at the absolute top level of their craft right now. That's going to be fun to watch. It'll also be very interesting to watch if what Denver does to get Julio Jones matched up on anybody but Aqib Talib. So I'm going to say he's not going to do
what Atlanta does?
What Atlanta does, to get him matched up on anybody but Aqib.
Because if you play a wide, we've already covered this earlier this season. If you play a wide receiver against Aqib Talib, you're gonna have a bad.
You're gonna have a bad day. Yeah. I would say that he's not gonna do 300, but I could see a hundred yard game and a touchdown out of this
for Julio.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Ryan does? You're not gonna like Matt Ryan, by the way.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Go look up some Matt Ryan, Boston College boy. Against Denton, no. I think that almost all of his success will come with what he can get with Julio Jones, and then a little bit on Jacob Tammy if he plays, because I think he's playing really well when healthy.
He is. Here's my thing. If you're not going to be able to throw the ball, we already know you can't run the ball against Denver.
You're right. No, you're not. No. No.
So Freeman's out of the question.
No.
Coleman's out of the question. Where's Atlanta's points going to come from?
That's kind of the point that I was making.
Yeah,
I think you might get a little bit out of Julio because he's so talented, and maybe a little out of Jacob Tammy because the tight end doesn't have to deal quite as much with those elite corners that they have. But other than that, I don't know where you find offense for Atlanta. They're going to struggle. I suspect Atlanta struggles this weekend.
I kind of think so as well. And the more I look at this, the more I'm thinking it might go into the play of the week category. We might turn this into a 4-team parlay, actually. Or I might just throw Baltimore out the window. I like Denver in this game quite a bit. Do you fire up Emmanuel Sanders? Can Trevor Siemian throw the ball?
See, that's going to be tough. With what I have seen with quarterbacks coming back from shoulder injuries,
it's not pretty.
I would.
How?
But they're not good. What's your question?
How old is this guy?
Matt Ryan? He's probably 30.
That's a lie. Look at his face.
What
stressful job?
Quarterback in the NFL? Yeah, it's kind of stressful.
He's got a few lines going on. He's not unfortunate looking, though.
Okay.
He's another baby face.
Unfortunate looking. Wow.
You know, because there's
no,
like,
I don't.
You know, you have a mirror in your
head.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
I think we have one right over there, actually.
Yeah.
No, he's not bad.
I could see Denver winning in a low scoring game here, and I don't know that Trevor Siemian is going to throw for a lot of yards with that injury.
So you kind of like the under here?
Yes.
47?
Yes, yes.
You like the under more or Denver more?
Probably the under, actually. Yeah, the under.
Again, a lot of it's going to rely on Trevor Siemian. Now, if Siemian goes out, I'm all about the offense because we know how Paxton Lynch can throw the football. I think this is a sneaky spot for C.J. Anderson. I'm not going to go all
out. Oh,
on
yeah.
Him,
yeah.
This seems like a C.J. Anderson game. On to the other game of the week. Which one's bigger for you? I know. For the nation.
Well, okay. Well, you know everybody watches the Cowboys games because you either want to watch them win or watch them lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the real reasons why Cowboys are are America's team. That's one of the reasons for that.
I believe it's an afternoon game as well
for everyone. I would say. That's tough because it's two teams, Atlanta and Dallas, trying to prove they belong with the teams that have already proven that they are contenders.
Cincinnati is a contender at 2-2.
Well, I was about to say, Cincinnati's kind of hasn't. I'm gonna go Denver and Atlanta is a bigger game. Mm-hmm. I think that next week Dallas and Green Bay, assuming Dallas wins tomorrow or Sunday, the Dallas Green Bay game next week is going to be huge, huge.
Well, Cincinnati bringing that 2-2 record into Cowboys Stadium. It's going to be a big one at Cowboys Stadium, though, I'll tell you that. 3-1 Cowboys, 45.5 total on it, and Cincinnati is a one-point favorite. It's the biggest test so far for Dallas. That's just hands down.
Oh, no question. No question. The best defense they've played so far by a wide stretch. Dak Prescott, I don't know if they've been holding him back to unleash him knowing that they had a chance against some of the better teams. A little later on, or if he's going to play that conservatively. But if he plays that conservatively, Dallas defense is going to have to play way, way better than they've been playing to win the game.
So is this a spot that Dak could struggle in? Could this be where he comes back down to earth?
Okay, this is from tape study. Okay, I've looked at every throw that he's made numerous times. I don't really see him ever having. I mean, yeah, he's going to have some bad games here and there, but I don't see him having games where he throws a lot of interceptions and causes problems that way. I see the problems coming from him not being aggressive enough and not pushing the ball down the field and scoring points and losing games where maybe a quarterback who is a little more aggressive wins it for you because he's very conservative with his everything right now. But like I said, they may be holding him back a little bit, knowing what's coming with this three-game stretch they're about to go into, and they're about ready to let him go. So we'll see.
We talked about the status of Dez Bryant a little earlier on. Now, if he doesn't play, are we going to see similar to what we saw last week when Cole Beasley was just basically taken out of the equation?
Yes. Yes.
Out of the equation.
Cincinnati will take Cole Beasley directly out of the game if Dez doesn't play. And then you're going to get a situation where...
Your boy.
My boy,
don't
Terrence...
Don't look at me
don't,
like that.
Don't, if you say Terrence don't Williams,
look at me like
I'm going
to
come...
Your boy, Terrence Williams, going to be in the spotlight?
He is, yeah, but that's never been good. He's never been successful in the spotlight. You know, and I'm not trying to bag on the guy, but he hasn't had a lot of success when it's been him as the lead dog. I think you see a lot of short throws to Witten. And if Dez doesn't play in this game, I don't really see a way Dallas wins it, first off. And I really see Dak Prescott having a really low yards per attempt on his throws, which there's a very strong correlation between high yards per attempt and winning. And I think he's going to have a low yards per attempt because he's not going to know where to go with the ball. They're going to double Dez, leave Witten open. And, you know, he's a great tight end, but he can't carry a game anymore. He doesn't have the speed or agility or anything left to carry an offense like he used to.
Well, I think that, in turn, leads me to my next point, is if Dallas can't throw the football – Zeke's going to have a real hard time running the ball.
Yes, yes, very hard time.
And I see very few second-level, third-level, getting into those level of carries
yes.
for Zeke this weekend.
Zeke probably runs for 150,
I know,
now that we're saying
three
this.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's expensive on DraftKings, too.
Is he really?
I guess the elephant in the room would be, for Dallas fans, how can Dallas contain A.J. Green?
Morris Claiborne's been playing out of his mind this season. He's been one of the five best cornerbacks in the NFL. So the first thing you do is you just throw Claiborne on him and see what he does. See if he can contain that monster. And he is a monster. And then if that doesn't work, then you start looking at, you know, other options, the different ways you can do it, double coverage and bracket coverage and running a guy underneath and all that stuff. But for me, it's more about Jeremy Hill. Because the Dallas run defense has been very inconsistent. And...
Yeah, but Jeremy Hill's not a guy that...
Man.
He's the definition of inconsistent, so...
Well, no, he is the definition of inconsistent, but I think that's not him. That's just the way the offense goes. But I think that I think Cincinnati's running attack's probably going to be pretty successful this weekend against Dallas, unless they really, really step it up. They've been pretty bad. So Jeremy Hill's my... I think I'm more scared of Jeremy Hill this weekend than A.J. Green, and that's kind of crazy, I know, but...
Wow. Like you said, Claiborne.
Claiborne's been playing really well, and they have a safety they could put over the top that could actually do some damage on that with Byron Jones. He can actually jump with A.J. Green. If it becomes a situation where we say we have to put somebody over the top of this guy, there's a lot of safeties that can't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But with Byron Jones, I think you could. So
here's my thing. If Jeremy Hill... We know what you're going to get from Jeremy Hill. He's not a flashy runner by any stretch.
Right.
A.J. Green, if Claiborne shuts him down, you slide that safety over, you put seven in the box, six, seven in the box. You stack the box, anticipate the run, and have A.J. Green covered. What are you going to do? What is Cincinnati going to do to counter that? Gio Bernard? Because they don't really have another wide receiver. Tyler Eifert just been ruled as out.
Yeah, with Eifert out, that's tough. Gio Bernard is probably the only real passing threat in that point. And I will say, Dallas's linebackers that are not named Sean Lee are not very good in coverage. So
yep.
It's a good option.
There is that. Last point on this game. And this
go ahead and look up Sean Lee, babyface.
I mean, you want to talk about a mega punt. But again, just something about that gut shot, gut feeling, drawn to the inside straight.
Yeah.
Bryce Butler.
Yeah. He's a guy that I just keep waiting on. I just keep waiting on him to just all of a sudden have that game where you're like, there we go, there it is. That's what your potential could be if you just show up every week. But
you want to talk about somebody no one is going to have? Bryce Butler. I don't think a lot of people are going to have Terrence Williams. And
probably not.
I kind of see a touchdown for him as well.
I told you, babyface.
No.
He looks like he's like 12.
What is with you? You have terrible taste in men.
Terrible taste in men, Bryce.
Oh, darn. Awful. Please don't tell me that.
Abysmal.
I guess for you that's good.
I called The Rock a beautiful, beautiful man on the morning show this morning.
He is beautiful.
So
he has beautiful features.
Yeah, so there you go.
Moving on to another potential game of the week, and if you can't tell in my voice or my facial expressions, that is extreme sarcasm.
Uh-huh.
Buffalo at the junior varsity Rams. How excited are you about this one, Bryce?
I'm excited that you finally stepped him up to JV and stopped calling him a middle school team.
Just because you made me.
Yeah. Well, they're 3-1. You can't. You gotta.
No, you don't. And I'm thinking about using their. Damn it. They're cheap. Buffalo has problems, and I can see a reason to use the Rams defense this week.
I think Buffalo rolls in that game.
God, I hate it.
I think Buffalo rolls in that game.
How? What's their avenue of victory?
Tyrod Taylor throwing touchdown passes to Robert Woods and Marcus
Goodwin.
LeSean McCoy.
To Robert Woods. Rams are a favorite in this game.
So stupid.
Two-point favorite.
No, the Rams are not a favorite. You're reading wrong.
Two-point favorite.
It's okay to be wrong sometimes.
Check
That's
out the
cool.
total, though. 39.5. I mean, that's about as low as it gets.
God.
We're looking at a 14.
No respect for the Rams. They scored 38 last week, and their whole total this week's 39. That's awful.
Extremely low total. I don't see much, if anything, that I like as far as daily fantasy, yearly fantasy either. Maybe a shot on Robert Woods. I could see Robert Woods having a surprisingly good game. Maybe 90 yards and a touchdown. LeSean McCoy, probably going to be the avenue of attack for Buffalo.
Yeah, and, you know, the Rams' run defense is pretty good, so maybe LeSean McCoy gets shut down a little bit. But it's also a different type of running attack when you enter in Tyrod Taylor in the running from the quarterback position. I don't know. That's a weird game. Yeah. I would say Buffalo, but that's a weird game.
Yep. If the Rams win, they're 4-1.
No, stop.
What the hell?
Let's get another question from her, because you done made me mad.
I was thinking about that.
You done made me mad.
Social media sorceress, Kendra Watts, what do you have for us?
All right, Facebook again, Tyler from San Angelo.
San Angelo.
I'm trying to make an accent with the towns, okay? All right, I know you guys are high on Will Fuller.
Hold on, stop. You didn't do an accent for Quentin from Oaktown.
Quentin from Oaktown.
I said Oaktown. Oh.
Dipping that toe in the pool.
Oaktown.
I don't know what to do.
Oh.
Yep.
Oaktown. All right. I just. You did a little Chicago. You did a little San Angelo. So.
How do you do California?
I don't know, but that's why I was asking. Because you just kind of asked it regular.
All right.
Give us the question.
From Texas. Okay. Anyways. I know you guys are high on Will Fuller. What do you guys think about the matchup against Minnesota?
We talked a little bit about this earlier.
Yeah.
I'm up in the air on it, really. Minnesota just shut down every part of the Giants' offense.
Yeah, it was Sterling Shepard, really, was the only one who had any success at all.
And that wasn't much. And
it was very limited, yeah.
As much as I like Will Fuller, and I do, he's so fast. He's got great hands.
I'm going to say Will Fuller catches a long touchdown pass in this game.
Wow. If he catches a long touchdown pass, he's worth it.
Yeah, that's my – just watching what happened with Odell Beckham and the way they covered him, he was able to get behind Rhodes, Waynes, and Newman. He was able to get behind all of those
that's
guys.
True.
And the passes weren't there, or his focus and concentration wasn't there. Will Fuller's faster than Odell Beckham. I could see, especially on Newman, because as great as an athlete he still is,
he gets one-on-one on
even
Terrence
a billion
Newman,
years
on Newman.
Old. Yeah, I think he's faster than Terrence Newman, and Newman has always struggled with those just few guys in the NFL that are faster than him. He's always struggled with those guys. I can see Will Fuller getting a long touchdown pass.
Another reason that I could see it, and now I'm starting to change my mind, is you still have D-Hops, the one catch for 5 yards, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He's still a thing in Houston, so Minnesota's going to have to key on him.
I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. I do too.
Sorry, I'm
trying to give you reasons that Will Fuller is going to be more open. I don't like DeAndre Hopkins at all. Don't get me wrong. Now he's going to go
in this game.
Too. In this game,
you like the player and just on.
I
game.
Do.
Yeah.
I like D Hops, Mini Megatron as I like to call him. Will Fuller, I'm kind of up in the air on, but I can see it. I can see it, but I don't think I'd go out of my way
to add it to a roster. Yeah.
Two more games. This one's got the highest total of the week: San Diego at Oakland. Cali -3.5. 50.5 total. Where are the points coming from?
Michael Crabtree?
Yeah. I think so. Two touchdowns.
Inman. Is it Dontrell? Dontrell Inman?
Who, is he a thing?
He was a thing last week.
One of them's going to be a thing. Dontrell Inman, Tyrell Williams, or Travis Benjamin.
Yeah. Yeah, or Hunter Henry. I like Hunter Henry quite a bit.
Hunter Henry's my tight end
this week. And then Melvin Gordon's been playing really, really well this season, so you get a little bit there.
Yeah, but Oakland's problem is the pass. It's not exactly the run.
Right. Yeah, well, no, there's no question about that. Jalen Richard busts off another long run that nobody expects. I don't know. That's one of those games where you might have a high total, but I don't think any one player in particular is going to break out. And if I had to pick one and say, yeah, that's most likely, I'd say Crabtree. But
who would you rather roster, Phillip Rivers or Derek Carr? Not David Carr.
Derek Carr, but only because there's no weapons left in San Diego.
No weapons
that's,
left
that's
in San
only
Diego.
I like Phillip Rivers better than Derek Carr, but when there's everybody's on the IR. Like, I'm pretty sure the GM is on the IR, the owner of the team's on injured reserve. Like, they're all on IR.
Yeah, and that seems to be the way in San Diego. I mean, they can't get more banged up, can they?
They actually added three fans to the IR yesterday.
Their new promotion is the first 11 through the gates they get to play.
They get to play,
ridiculous. I don't really have a problem stacking this game. I don't see 50 points. I don't.
No.
That's a lot of freaking points.
Yeah, it is a lot of points.
I think that's fool's gold as far as the total. But if you're looking to stack, you said Melvin Gordon, Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry is going to catch a touchdown pass. And Crabtree. So Henry, Crabtree, you stack both sides. Pick one, Dontrell Inman or Tyrell Williams. I can't get on the Travis Benjamin train.
No, I can't either. And if I had to pick one of those, I would pick Inman because he's done it. Yep. Tyrell Williams hasn't had that big game yet, so at least you can say Inman's done it before.
It might be chasing points.
No?
No? No. That's a...
You do understand we're picking these guys based on their ability to play football, right?
He said pick one.
Oh.
So I'm just looking.
You're just trying to pick one. Okay.
That's bad.
Bad?
Is that the right guy?
Yeah. No. Yeah, yeah, that's him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No.
Hunter Henry.
He gets a
He gets a
I was going to say something ugly, but I won't.
You just called him ugly on air?
No, I was going to say something ugly.
Call him ugly on air. That's just awful.
I didn't call him ugly.
Kendra Watts, everybody. You can find her on Facebook.
It's unfortunate.
Send your comments to Kendra Watts on Facebook.
Sunday Night Football, the Giants trying to rebound from that abysmal showing against Minnesota. They're taking on Green Bay. Green Bay's a 7.5 favorite with a 48 total. I mentioned a couple of times that I like to leave it late. I like to leave a lot of players in my lineups late just so I have that opportunity to get points where nobody else is. I think this is a great spot, too. I think it's a great spot on both sides of the football, Green Bay and New York. I think Jordy Nelson's in play here. I think Odell Beckham is actually in play here. Talk to me a little bit about Odell Beckham. What's the deal with him?
I told you.
Yes, you did.
Like 3 weeks ago, I don't like this guy. I don't like his style of
That's
play.
That's not the end-all be-all.
I know,
okay.
But you're telling me, you're asking my opinion on the guy. I don't like the guy. I don't like his style of play. I don't like his attitude. I don't think he's a very good receiver. He has the ability to make catches that are out of this world. Incredible athletic ability. He's not that great of a route runner. He's okay when he's not being muscled. But you get somebody on him that pushes him around and muscles him around a little bit, and we've seen this with Josh Norman a little bit last week with Xavier Rhodes. You muscle him around a little bit, and he just kind of folds a little bit and turns into a shell of himself. I wouldn't be high on Odell Beckham Jr. again until he does something to show it.
I could see it if you're just because nobody's going to be on him if you're trying to be contrarian.
So are you saying this guy's super good looking?
No. Kendra, oh, sorry. You like was that blunt?
You like the Q-tip look going on that he's got going on?
No.
Little blonde hair on top?
He's not fooling anybody. Blonde hair? Like me, maybe. Him, no.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You like the little blonde hair on top?
No.
No?
It looks terrible. And then look at his beard.
Just awful.
That's a bad beard. Bad beard.
Bad
That's
beard.
Bad beard. That's not a happy beard.
Happy beard.
That beard does not make me happy.
Okay. So she's out on Odell Beckham Jr.
Yep.
Here's my reasoning. Green Bay has struggled against the pass, especially with fast receivers this year. Allen Robinson found some room against Green Bay in week one, I believe. Let's see. Who else has Green Bay played? They played Detroit.
Marvin Jones had a
good
game.
A huge game.
Yeah.
I think something, and it's in the spotlight. He likes the spotlight. Sunday Night Football under the lights. I think Odell Beckham might rebound here.
Okay, if it's me, I'm spending my points on Sterling Shepard. I think
Shepard's considerably
cheaper. I think he's the best receiver on that team. Complete, not the most physically talented, not the best hands, whatever. The best receiver on the team, Sterling Shepard.
What about Orleans Darkwa? If you're a Giants fan,
sure.
Moving forward,
as long as Rashad Jennings isn't coming back. If Rashad Jennings is coming back, then your Orleans Darkwa goes down quite a bit. But
yep.
But if there's no Rashad Jennings, then Orleans Darkwa is a great option.
I like Green Bay in this game, 7.5 favorite. I think Jordy Nelson probably has a big night. I think Aaron Rodgers probably has a big night as well. One more game to get to. It's the Monday night. Tampa Bay, Carolina. Carolina looks... they don't look good. There's no line on it yet. I think that's probably because of injury concerns.
Right. I'm going to pick Tampa Bay.
It's a complete coin flip.
You better, you know, in a situation like that, I'm going to go with the better quarterback. Jameis Winston's a better quarterback than Derek Anderson.
Is Derek Anderson on tap to start this one? I guess Cam's not back.
I don't know. This is my personal opinion on this. I feel like the league just cannot allow Cam Newton to play because of all the concussion concerns, mm-hmm. and he was the one that started all of this at the beginning of the season. They finally took him out and said, hey, look, this guy has a concussion, and if you're going to come back and say, oh, nope, he's magically healed the next week, it just makes the NFL look bad. I think the league's going to tell Carolina to put him on the bench this week.
If that's the case, then yeah.
Tampa.
Yeah.
And then even if it's not the case...
Carolina's defense hasn't looked good.
Probably Tampa.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans is not Julio Jones, yeah. But he's going to have a monster game. Yes.
And you could definitely see it. Probably a multi-touchdown game as well.
Probably.
My boy Adam Humphries.
Yep. Big game.
Yep.
No question. A lot of Julio Jones's damage last week was out of the slot, and that's where Adam Humphries will be. So,
yep.
Go ahead and give me some Adam Humphries opinions.
Adam Humphries. Mm-hmm. Okay, stand by.
So that wraps things up as far as the slate goes. If we're talking daily fantasy, I guess again over on DraftKings.com, you could $20 could yield you $1 million, and it is all you had to do last week was stack Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Those were the winning combinations. That was that.
I have no idea what he looks like.
You're bad. They all look like 12-year-old boys. All of them.
All of them?
All of the ones you told me to look
up. You need
up.
Like a manly man?
Yes, I'll show you who I need. But I kind of feel... Okay, Eric Decker?
Eric Decker, that's...
Holy balls.
He's a pretty boy. And I believe he's married to like a supermodel or somebody really hot. I can't remember who.
No.
What?
Jesse, the country singer. It says he has a show on E.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about.
Jesse James Decker, no.
Oh yeah, yes.
That's my homegirl.
Yes, that's
okay. I guess I'll have to pick somebody else.
You're not gonna go after. Yeah, because
wow. Because she's smoking hot. Like, I'm not gonna compete with that.
I was like, all right.
Jeez.
Respect. So yeah, if we're talking daily, Aaron Rodgers comes in I think he's actually right underneath Cam Newton, but I'm gonna have no interest there. Aaron Rodgers, I like quite a bit
sure.
in that game.
Sure, New York, yeah.
Big total on Sunday night. Tom Brady, 7,500. How many people are gonna be on him? If there was 1,000 players, what percentage? What percentage of the game is gonna be on Tom Brady?
A lot, a really high percentage. I'm telling you right now, if 20, I'm going all in on Tom Brady.
I'll tell you, the going all in does not go well. If your quarterback gets hurt, I went all in basically on Cam Newton last week. I like Tom Brady a lot. I like Ben Roethlisberger quite a bit as well. I think if Pittsburgh's going to attack that defense, they're going to do it through the air. And 7,200 is more than an adequate price to pay. I'm probably going to pass on Phillip Rivers. Derek Carr, you could do a lot worse. Carson Wentz, 6,400. I don't think many people are going to be on him. You could stack him with Jordan Matthews.
I don't know. I think people will be on him. He's played pretty well this season.
If I had to pick...
He's throwing a lot of touchdowns, I guess.
Yeah,
it's five touchdowns and no interceptions right now.
Again,
so.
It's just the lack of targets.
I mean,
once you take away Jordan Matthews, who's it going to be? It could be...
It's been all of them. Nelson Aguilar's gotten involved. They've all gotten involved.
Sproles as well. Joe Flacco. If I'm spending down at quarterback this week, it's going to be at Joe Flacco, 6,200. I like all the top-tier running backs. All of them. All of them.
All of them.
All of them. You can only play three, and that's if you use one as your flex. That means I'm probably going to be spending down at wide receiver. love Le'Veon Bell at 7,500. DeMarco Murray has just proven it week in and week out.
Yes, he has.
He can do it on the ground and through the air, 7,200. Melvin Gordon, there's 7,000. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like Melvin, just go two ticks down to Ezekiel Elliott at 6,800.
Right, right. Yeah.
Maybe if you're trying to save a little, Frank Gore, 5,700. And jury's still out on Jordan Howard. I like him quite a bit.
Who are they playing this week?
Let's see. Chicago has, that's going to be
Indy. Oh, yeah. Jordan Howard. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Indy is bad.
They're
the worst team in football. Like, you make fun of the Rams, Indy is the worst team in football. They are awful.
All right. 5,200 is an adequate price. No Terrence West for me this week just because he doesn't do his work out of the backfield. Matt Jones, 4,500 if you're looking to be contrarian. And Jerick McKinnon, another one.
I like him. I like him a lot.
McKinnon is about to get going for Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They need him to. Now, the way that Pittsburgh lost against Philadelphia in epic fashion,
right,
for lack of a better word, was on those screen passes and those just little short dump-offs, mm-hmm, that obviously Darren Sproles has a lot more speed than this guy. But Bilal Powell, 4,000? Can Fitzpatrick find him?
I wouldn't be counting on it.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, No. That's different offenses. No.
If you're going to be spending all the way up at wide receiver, Antonio Brown's your guy at 9,800. Jordy Nelson, 79, is probably in my price point. Brandon Marshall at 7,100. I mean, why do you go away from Crabtree? The game's got a biggest total on the slate, 6,900. It's an adequate price. Emmanuel Sanders as well at 6,800. Julian Edelman, there's three guys just lumped right there.
Yeah.
69, 68, 6,700. Will Fuller's 5,800.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Will Fuller at 5,800 or Sterling Shepard at 55?
Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, just
Sterling Shepard all day.
I'd rather have Steve Smith at 53.
Maybe.
I like Steve Smith quite a bit.
Yeah, I know you're all over the ancient one.
Yep, the ancient one. And Robert Woods, if you're spending down, and I think I'm going to. 3,900 on Robert Woods, 3,800 on Terrence Williams. I think I'm going to be on Terrence Williams like I was on Cole Beasley last week.
Okay.
Because he proved that he can find space and Dak will throw him the ball.
Right.
And if Cole Beasley is covered like he was, then the targets are going to be there for Terrence Williams.
That's fair.
Super punt, Bryce Butler and Brian Quick, L.A. Rams,
3,200. Yeah, he's played pretty well this season.
Not Kenny Stills, but the other one, Kenny Britt.
Kenny Britt.
Yeah, Britt doesn't play. Or
well,
if he's
Brian Quick's
up,
been pretty productive regardless of Kenny Britt's there or not.
Yep. Tight ends, Martellus Bennett, 3,700. Again, I don't think Gronk is in playable shape as far as that tight end position. Zach Rudolph, 36. Ertz, I'm probably going to take a pass on. Hunter Henry, 3,300. Let's just call it even. Call it good. And
yeah.
Roster Hunter Henry. And if you want to go real far into the doldrums, Jack Doyle, 2,600. Going to try to come back from that one reception game.
The immortal one got shut down last week.
Ryan Griffin, 2,500.
Yeah.
Osweiler's starting to look his direction.
Yeah, a little bit.
Pick a defense, Bryce. Minnesota at 34, LA at 32, Buffalo at 31, or Philly at 29.
The L.A. one is appealing. I really like what Buffalo did last week to New England. I'd go Buffalo. They're playing well right now.
Interesting. I think I'm going Philadelphia. Just because somehow they always seem to be able to put it together.
Yeah, that Philly defense is really good right now.
Minnesota's probably mathematically the defense to go with. That game's got a 41.
If you have the, I mean, it's only a few hundred points. So if you have a little extra, then Minnesota's a really good option because I mean they're just going to shut down whoever they play. But if you're needing to sharpen the pencil a little bit on it.
Sharpen the pencil a little bit. I like it. Absolutely. All right. So moving on, I got my like I said last week, we went 3-0. Cha-ching.
Yeah, with your parlay.
Absolutely.
You did.
All three top plays of the week cashed. The dog, not so much. I don't think I'm going to – I'm changing it right now.
You're changing it right now.
I'm changing the dog because we went through the game and it just doesn't look good for Atlanta. But my three plays of the week are New England minus 10.5, Philadelphia minus 3, and Pittsburgh minus 7.5.
Okay.
I was going to say Baltimore minus 4. You can throw a four-teamer in if you want to.
So give me the three winners again.
New England, 10.5, Philadelphia, minus 3, Pittsburgh, 7.5.
Okay.
Honorable mention to Baltimore, minus 4. And the dog is going to be does it count if they're a 2-point dog? Like, I don't know if that's a real.
I mean, they do it. When I watch them do this on the pregame shows, it's as long as they're not favored, they're a dog.
All right, Buffalo plus 2. I can't take the junior varsity Los Angeles Rams. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Just can't do it. And that's going to bring a wrap. That's going to conclude this edition, episode number 7 of the 2-Point Conversion Podcast. It's presented, as always, hosted on footballogy.com. It's a study of all things football, social media sorcerer. So what do you think? First time in studio? First time with the show?
First time on air.
Yeah. Welcome to it.
Why did you tell them?
Well, it's
my secret.
Oh. Well, see, when you wait tables, you tell every table it's your first week
know,
or whatever.
I know, so they tip you better.
Yeah, and so we tell, hey, you know, it's your first time. You're just getting new at this.
I'm open for tips.
Yeah, you're open for tips.
Jesus Christ.
I had a lot of fun. It was good.
Good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Good.
Fantastic. Facebook, Twitter, where do you send the questions?
Send the questions. Right now, I think the best place to send the questions would be to the Facebook page. It's 2-Point Conversion on Facebook. That's the number 2. We are going to be starting a Twitter account and getting some more ways and avenues people can get in touch with the show. But right now, I would go to the Facebook page.
The number 2-Point Conversion on the Facebook page, so definitely follow us, like us. Chris Daniels, Bryce Markham, Kendra Watts. She'll have a Facebook page up and running again, or very shortly as well, Social Media Sorceress. Thank you all for listening to the program. We will be back. We record on Monday. We'll be back on air Tuesday, footballogy.com, iTunes, and Google Play as well.
Very important. Whatever device you're listening to us on, go check it out on the store that's made for that device. Rate and like the show. It'll help us out big time.
It's the show where we always go for 2. For Kendra Watts, Bryce Markham, I am Daniels. And good luck in all your games this weekend on DraftKings, of course, unless you're playing me.